Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. I love you all. I really do. With God's kind of love. I might not know all of you, but I love you. It's amazing, eh? I learned that from Bruce Alfrink. He was teaching me about just in conversation. Bruce is a teacher. Even if you just have a conversation, you get taught. And he was talking about agape love, and I thought, yes, that's so true. The love of that God is a love which is for everyone, everywhere, for all sinners, unconditionally, all over the earth. That's the love of God. Isn't that amazing? If it wasn't for the love of God, we'd be utterly ruined. We'd be completely taken out. And so God loves everyone. But then, obviously, as we learn to accept and receive that love, we start to realize that He is way better than we realize, that He loves us a lot more than we think, because we're actually quite unlovable, but God still loves us. And He dies for us, lays down His life for us, and takes this wonderful gospel and response of life back to Him to a whole other level. I stand here this morning grateful to be able to preach. I trust that you are grateful to just be here. You know, I had my hair cut, if you notice. Thanks. And the lady that was washing my hair washed it and then rinsed it and then conditioned it and then rinsed it and then proceeded to give me a head massage. And this is what they do at this particular, salon. Own up. And and she gave me this head massage, which turned into a neck massage and back to a head massage. And I was like, oh man, this is great. I mean, initially while she was washing my hair, I was looking on my cell phone and scrolling through things and, you know, Facebook or whatever else. And then when the massage came, I was like, oh, like just get lost in the moment. And so I said, that's good. And she says, thank you. And I thought, she's thanking me and she's serving me. I should be thanking her. But her heart was a heart of gratitude to serve and a heart of gratitude to do something for me. And I went away from that and I was like, wow. You know, sometimes we're not grateful when it comes to serving. We want others to thank us. And I don't think she was looking for any comment or anything, but I could just sense in her heart there was this absolute gratitude just to serve. And I am thankful this morning that I get to preach. I trust that you are grateful that you get to give tithes and offerings. I trust that you are grateful that you get to worship. I trust that you are grateful that you get to serve, that you come on a Sunday, that you go on a Wednesday to a life group, that you pour a coffee in the coffee shop, that you help the kids in the kids' ministry, that you raise your children, that you love your wife, that you are grateful to be able to do those things. Because the minute you look to get paid for it, and the minute you look for thanks to come your way for it, is the minute you destroy something. Folk, we should be grateful that we get to do a lot of what we get to do. In fact, I felt like I wanted to give an offering to the Lord. Don't worry, I'm not taking up another offering, relax. But you would be grateful if I did. But I thought, I want to give an offering to God just because I preach. But hang on, shouldn't I get paid to do this? I don't want to get paid to do this. Jesus Christ has already paid on the cross with His whole life, all His blood for me, a fraught sinner, to get saved and to be used by Him. Who should be doing the paying? Not Him, to me. So I felt this way. I gave an offering to the Lord just because I get to preach. I trust that you would give an offering just because you get to read your Bible. That you'd give an offering just because you get to pray. That kind of gratitude. You're not looking for somebody to say, oh, thank you, let me pay you for what you did. But rather, man, this is payment for me to do it. And I would pay to do it. Now, it sounds a bit odd to have to pay to do it. But I think that's the attitude we should have in our hearts. The minute I have an attitude of, well, I'm not getting anything out of this anymore, is the minute I don't serve with the right heart. And I want to serve God with an attitude that says, I'll even pay for this. And you see it in the scriptures when Elijah calls Elisha. And Elisha, having been called into a prophetic ministry, burns his yoke and his oaks. He burns the yoke and he burns the ox on the yoke and offers it to the Lord and leaves that to the Lord and then goes and worships and follows God as a prophet. Would you give an offering to be used as a prophet? Would you, if God had to say to you, I want you to come to church this morning, you should have an attitude, I'll pay for that. I'll even pay to do it. I'm not asking you to do it, but it's your own attitude, it's your own heart. I'll give so that I can do that. I'll get up early. I'll wake the kids. I'll come at 9 o'clock when the meeting starts. I'll do anything because of the wonderful pleasure and privilege of getting to do this for Jesus. Do you see it like that? I trusted you. Well, know that I do. I love doing this. I love getting to do this. I love being a husband to my lovely wife, father to my 3 beautiful kids. But I love to preach because God has given me the privilege of doing that. And I will pay for it, even if I don't get a salary. Fine. I say that dangerously, risking my life and my wife's and my kids. No, I would pay for this. Right, so let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to talk about Jesus builds his church, but he calls us to do it. So I just want to first read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then we're going to look at some scriptures of how God calls people and uses people to do his work and to build his church. God loves us and he builds us into the church. Folk, I do pray that you would love the church. I pray that you would see the church as the most beautiful thing on the face of the earth. People that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that have been brought together. You know, imperfect people. Are there any perfect people here? That's what makes it perfect. No one's perfect. And Jesus loves us. We're not a perfect church. If you're looking for the perfect church, don't come here, because you'll spoil it. It's a joke. But you know what? Because none of us are perfect. And so good, because that's who God uses. And that's who God loves. If you were to come and put a little, like a brother I or whatever on my life every single day, you might be shocked at what I say and do and how I do it and the attitudes that come out of my heart and life sometimes. You would be shocked. I promise you, I'm not always exactly like I am now when I'm preaching and loving Jesus, bless God. But he uses everyone. He uses ordinary people. I want you to be encouraged today that God is calling you and God wants to use you, and he doesn't want you to sort your life out before he does it. Because on the job, he'll do it. He's wonderful. He can use you. Doesn't matter what you're free of and what you're not free of. He's going to use you. Can use you mightily. Who wants to enroll in that kind of army where you don't have to have trained first and have to be super fit before you're even considered by the commander? He says, I want to use you as you are right now. Just let me use you. That's wonderful, eh? Okay, so 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read through chapter 1 and just into a few verses of chapter 5. Chapter 2 to verse 5. Good. Oh, Lord, before I stumble over more words, I ask you for grace and favor and your spirit to enable me to speak. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to come together to hear the word of God, to come together to have the word of God impact every one of us, myself included, and change us and make us more like you, Jesus. You here, right now. We stand in awe of you. You're in this place. You're healing right now. You're setting people free right now. His spirit is so alive here now. He's hovering over you. He's healing you. He's undoing the pain and the worry and all these things. God is with you now. Hear me. Hear him. Lord, I thank you, Lord, by your spirit, you would cause such faith to rise up in our hearts as we listen to the word. Change us. Transform us. This is good to be here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You don't mind me reading? You can read along as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called. I'm going to highlight the word called and see how many times it comes up. And then it'll give us an indication of what we're called to. Called. Paul. Called by the will of God to be an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's how you get clean in him. Called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. You know, it's amazing. When you call on God, you realize that He's already called on you. The only reason why you ever call on God is because there's been a call on you already. Jesus is calling out to everyone. And when you realize it, and perhaps you don't realize it, but when you say, Jesus, it says this, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And anyone who calls in the name of the Lord will never be put to shame. And so when you call out, He's already called for you. He's already sending His voice out and His word out all over the world. He's reaching out to you. The day when you say Jesus is the day when those two wonderful callings meet. He's called you long before you ever called on Him. He's calling out to you. He's called us for His purposes and to sanctify us and to make us holy. Isn't that beautiful? He's called us to be saints. And to all those who call on the name of the Lord, both the Lord and ours. You know, you don't become a saint. The day you call on Jesus, you're a saint. You know that? Who's called on Jesus here? You are all the saints. You're the saints. You know what a saint is? Clean, pure, holy, righteous, perfect in God's eyes. Do any of you feel holy, righteous, perfect in God's eyes right now? But you know what? All you have to do is call on His name and that's how He sees you. All you have to do is put your faith in Him. All you have to do is call on the one who's poured out His blood and poured out His forgiveness so that you can be free of all those things. The call is what God's looking for and listening for. Many people are calling on all kinds of things all around the world. People are calling on the bank manager. People are calling on the psychologist and the doctor. People are calling on friends and calling on this and calling on armies to get ready for battle and calling on all kinds of things. You can hear presidents stand up and call to fight hate and call to fight terrorism. But those are the calls of the devil, actually. Those are going to make you run around. But there's one who's calling. His name is Jesus. He says, just put your faith in me and you are pure. And that's all you have to do is call on Him. Just the call in the right place and in the right direction. Have the right telephone number. The telephone number to call Jesus is faith in your heart that He loves you, He forgives you, and that He saves you. Have you got faith? Store it on your address book, on your list of, what's it? Speed dial. Thank you. Can you hear the Lord calling? He's calling. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. Where does grace come to us? In Christ Jesus. Where are we sanctified? In Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in Him. How are you enriched? In Him. In all speech and all knowledge. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. When we hear about Christ and we believe in Christ, and we start to follow Christ, that's a confirmation of the testimony about Christ. So that you are not lacking in any gift. Now this is wonderful. I want to show you something. The Lord gives gifts. And He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. This word here, gift, charisma, is the powerful gifts of the Spirit. And many people in many churches say this, that the gifts that Jesus has given for us to operate in, the gifts that help us be more and more like Jesus, get changed and transformed out of darkness into light. The gifts that are given to us that we can be free of the works of the devil and welcomed into the works of the kingdom. The gifts that are given, some people teach that those don't exist anymore. Some people teach that those have stopped and ceased. With the apostolic age or whenever the Bible was finished written or whatever the case would be, then the gifts were finished because there was no need for the gifts anymore because the gifts were only there to prove that the writing of the Scripture was Scripture. Come on. How could the gifts, which is given to the church at the start, for all the church to increase and grow and become people of faith and power, how could that stop? If it had to stop, man, we're left to ourselves. But look what the Scripture says right here. So that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the gifts continue until Jesus comes again. There it is. Don't be lacking in any gift until Jesus comes again. This is not just to the church at Corinth, but this is to every single one of us here who read this, who are called by God to be saints, who are called by Jesus to be cleansed in His name, who are called by Jesus. There's a call on every single one of you, and when He calls you, He gives you gifts. They're powerful. Say thank you to Jesus. The call has got gifts. And so it says, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. Oh, man. I'm so grateful that He will sustain me to the end. That I don't have to try to sustain myself to the end. That's a gift. When a gift has been given to you in such a way that God promises to look after you until the very end, that is an incredible gift. That's a gift that I keep saying, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. You know, I can either be amazed at the hugeness of a gift that promises to look after me till the very end. I can either be amazed at it and grateful and serve God out of gratitude that He's already promised to look after me to the end, or I can suspect that God won't look after me to the end, that I have to look after myself to the end, and so my gratitude is, thank you, God, but okay, I better do this. And I tell you what, your motivation in the latter is not as great as your motivation in the former. Would you agree? Would you agree? If I had to pay everything forward for you and say, serve me with whatever gratitude you wish, do you know that you would serve way better if your heart is right, in love, if it was all paid for, as opposed to if I said to you, yes, a little now and a little later. You're going to serve because you got a little now, but you're going to serve because you want the little bit later. I want to tell you this, folk. God is so good to you that He's not reserved any goodness for later. He gives it all to you now. All to you now. And what you get later is even more. It's incredible. Are you with me? He will sustain you to the end. Look at this. Guiltless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you reading what I'm reading? That makes me smile, man. Are you reading what I'm reading? I don't know if I can smile properly. Like, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a wonderful calling, folk. A calling that lasts forever. A calling of fellowship now and fellowship to come. What an amazing calling. Are you hearing God calling? Can you hear the cell phone ringing? Is that a ringtone, are ya? I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you. Because look, we're not called to divide. We're not called to fight. We're not called to quarrel. We're not called to make big issues out of little things. We're called for something far greater than that, folk. There's a bigger issue in the world right now. It's not what you like or don't like about the church. No. I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like the way they do that. I don't like how they ask for offering again. I don't like this. I don't like the songs. I don't know, all that kind of thing. I don't like the laugh group. I don't like the coffee. And I've got to pay for it. I don't like it. I would pay for it because it's good coffee. I don't like this. I don't like the people. I don't like the... I have to read my Bible. I don't like praying. He's called us to fight another battle. There's another battle to fight. He's not calling us to fight with each other. The minute you see that the fight is happening on the inside, you must stop it right there. Just give up. Sorry. Okay, you... Whatever. I'm wrong. You're right. Let's go on. There's another fight to fight. Amen? For it has been reported to me... Where are we? Sorry, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you are united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people... This is interesting. Chloe has been tittle-tailing again. But as a leader in the church, I often hear about the little things that are going on. And folk, I just want to say, please, we're not called to that. We're not called to the little issues. Drop the little issue, because I can know what you are fighting by what you're telling me about. And I can know whether you're fighting the call of God and for the call of God, or if you're fighting people. Let's fight the devil and not the people. Are we good? When we stop fighting for the thing that's the main thing, we start making a fight out of the little things that aren't the main thing. The minute we take our eyes off the battle royale, which is the salvation of souls for eternity that the devil is keeping for himself, and we've got to go in there and rescue them, that's the fight. The minute we take our eyes off that fight, we put our eyes onto another fight, and I don't like the her, she wears blue. Hello? I'm now looking, I'm seeing who's wearing blue. I'm not saying. Bless you guys. You guys blew us away this morning. Anyway. So this has been reported to me of Chloe's people that there's quarreling among you. My brothers, what I mean is this. Each of you says, I follow Paul, and I follow Apollos, and I follow Cephas, and I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that you may, that no one may say that they were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone. So, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's the calling. Not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. What do we preach? We preach the cross of Jesus Christ. We don't preach, I follow this guy, I follow that guy, oh, this church or this guy. The cross of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Let's make it only about that. If you come in and you see a big cross, that's what we're about. Don't be cross. There's the cross. Okay? Let's not get cross with one another. Let's be the crossing church who are focused on the cross of Jesus Christ. There it is. That's why we have a cross here, because the Bible says, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Where's the power? In the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? He's so beautiful. He's so good to us. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. The world's like, what? What cross? But to us who are being saved. Do you know that you are saved when you put your faith in Jesus? You're being saved by the ongoing outworking of righteousness in your life, changing you from the person that you were into the person that you're going to be like Jesus Christ. You are saved. You're being saved. And there's a day when you will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. This body will stay in the ground and poof, shoof, here we go. And we get a new body. It's beautiful. So our salvation is in past tense, present tense, and future tense. So someone said, oh, but am I not saved yet if I'm being saved? No, you are. Past tense, you were saved at the cross when Jesus Christ died for you. On the day you put your faith in Him, you were saved. You were justified just as if you'd never sinned ever before. That's it. You can say, I am saved. I'm a saint. Hello. I'm born again. Name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Saved. But I'm being saved because, I don't know if you know this, but on the day you get saved, the next day you realize you still have your same brain. And so as you put the word into your brain, it starts to transform your brain and you start to think differently. Because now the Spirit is alive inside of you because you were saved. Now you're being saved and you start to handle situations differently and you're sanctified and you become more and more like Jesus in your life. Less sin, more of Him. That's an amazing part of salvation. And the last aspect of salvation, that's the Spirit, this is the soul, the last is the body. Thank you, Jesus, glorified with Him forever. This is by Christ, this is by the Spirit, and this is to see the Father. Yes, man. The whole Trinity involved in our salvation. Past, present, future, being saved. The Scriptures are beautiful, eh? This is not even in my notes. I'm just preaching this. This is better than my notes. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who's wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God. So we can get so clever and so wise, but the worldly wisdom of today negates God. You talk to the wisest people on the earth today, they cut God out of the picture. And they think that's wise. That's not wise at all. For through the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It was pleased that through folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Isn't that amazing? The foolishness of a death on a cross of a man, preaching that saves people. Isn't it crazy? Who could have invented that apart from God? Who could have invented a religious system where we talk to people about a man who's perfect and dies on a cross, and you get saved by that? Who would have invented that in the wisdom of the world? No one. That proves it's true. Because only God could come up with such a story. It's the power of God. That's why we can trust in this glorious gospel. It's amazing. He saves people who believe in what's preached. That's why preaching is important. Oh, can't we just stick to the worship? Yes, there might be times for that, but preaching is what saves souls. Unless we can preach somehow through the singing. And that's why I like songs where the gospel is displayed through the song. But it's the preaching. Preaching is vital for your salvation. Preaching challenges your heart. Preaching saves you. Past keeps you being saved. The word cutting to the heart and will save us. And so, for Jews demand signs, verse 22. Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Isn't that awesome? You're called to have the wisdom and the power of God in Christ. Christ is your power. Christ is your wisdom. You don't have to be clever, just have Christ and you've got wisdom of God. You don't have to have power, just have Christ and you've got the power of God. Amen. Have Christ. We're not going to preach a gospel here where we talk about money, 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 prosperity, 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 even though Jesus does talk about money a heck load because he wants people to be free, but he wants people to be free in the way that they don't worship money, that they worship God. You can either use God to get money or you can use money to get God. Hello? You can either worship money and use God to get it, or you can worship God and use your money to keep worshiping him. Much better way of using it. So it's the one thing that all the world without God would make a God, money. Jesus comes in as Savior and he says, I have to challenge the other God, money. So in Joburg, the richest, the city of gold, one of the richest cities in the world, if a preaching preacher with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not challenging the spirit and the idol of the city with words about money, then we're not really listening to the gospel, are we? Hello? It's good that we preach what Jesus wants us to preach about money. But I'm not making it about money, please. It's about Christ. We preach Christ. But to those who are called, both Greeks and Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For, listen, now this is going to encourage every one of you. Who wants to be encouraged? For consider your calling. There's a call from God. He's calling you to peace with him. He's calling you to sanctification. He's calling you to purity. He's calling you to walk with God. He's calling you to fellowship. He's calling you to something powerful. He says, consider, now he's calling us. He wants to put gifts in us. He wants to use us to proclaim this gospel. You don't need to have a clever gospel. You don't have to have eloquent words and wonderful things. You just got to know the power of God's in the cross. The wisdom of God is in Christ. He's calling us now to go tell people about these things. Consider your calling. Every one of you have a calling. Consider it now. Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to be clever to be used by God. You don't have to be noble to be used by God. You don't have to be have a whole lot of money to be used by God. You don't have to all the stuff that the people look and run after as if that's going to be some commendation or recommendation that people would listen to them. You can be nothing and simply chosen. That's enough. And God's choosing you today. He's choosing you, Rudy. He's choosing you, Brett. He's choosing every single one of you, beautiful people. He's choosing you. Holly, he's chosen you. He's chosen you for this calling. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Let me just do the first 5 verses of chapter 2 there. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and with wisdom, for I decided to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If all you know is that Jesus died for you, that's all you need. If all you want to tell anyone else is that Jesus died for them, that's all you need to say. What's going on in the world? People are screaming, crying out. Just look at the Facebook statuses and see what people are complaining about. Roll over Twitter and see what the trending things are. Hashtag whatever. And you see what people are crying and moaning. All you have to, Jesus died. People are dying, but Jesus died. People are in pain, Jesus died. What's going to happen? Is it the end of, Jesus died. But He rose again. Isn't that beautiful? For I decided to know nothing except you, nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Wow. It's either big words or it's the Spirit of God using you. Who wants to be used by the Spirit of God? You know, Jesus responded to the call of God in Himself. The Father would have said, who will go for us? Jesus wasn't forced by the Father to come die for us. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit as a Trinity are so in tune with each other, in love with each other, so prefer one another, that when God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit decided to make us, He knew that we would fall. He didn't make us expecting that we would make it all the way. He made us knowing we would fall. So He said, before we make them, we're going to need to do something when they fall. What are we going to do? And the Father would have said something like this. We're going to need to pay a price. We're going to need to have to deal with how they fall. And Jesus said, well, I know. I'll die in their place. Because they would, therefore, would utterly destroy our glory. And the Father said, I know. And Jesus said, well, I'll die. And the Father said, are you sure? And Jesus said, you know I am, Dad. The Father says, well, I'll send you. And for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life with Him forever. So God knew how He was going to work it out even before He made us. And when He made us and it all unfolded, it didn't surprise Him. Oh no, what now? I didn't see the snake. Did you see the snake? I didn't see the. Where did that come from? It was camouflaged. I don't. He knew. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He said, no problem. Because of this, judgment must come. But I'm going to show you through all the law and all these things that you cannot pay for that judgment. But I will. And I will put myself on that cross. Foolish, I know, but wise. Because I've thought about how to save you and how to rescue you. Put your trust in me. Put your faith in me, says Jesus. And you'll be with me forever. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? And now He says to you, I'm calling you. Because I want to use you to do what I thought about doing all those years before. And Jesus has worked out a way to include all of us in His plan to redeem the world. He's calling the world, but He's going to use you to call the world to Himself. Whose voice did you hear when you met Jesus? Perhaps it was a mother in your home saying, come to Jesus. Perhaps it was a preacher. Perhaps somebody brought you to church. Perhaps somebody told you about Jesus. I don't know. Maybe sometimes people pick up the Bible and they hear God just for themselves. But God called to you. You knew there was something on your heart. Amen? Would you agree? I know. The night before I gave my heart, or Jesus saved me, I can't even say I gave my heart to Jesus because He already planned it. He saved me. But in my responses, I give Him my heart. But the day before, I'd had a dream. And I don't know about you, but you can't ask for what dreams you're going to have. You can't say, tonight I'm going to dream this dream. Let me find the DVD rack. That one, thank you. Let's put that dream in the sleep machine. When you say, well, I had a lovely dream. God gave me a dream that He was saving me. So He was doing it. Not me. And the next day, I'll give you my life, Lord. If you would love me, no matter what I said, no matter where I've been, no matter what I did, no matter what I consumed, it doesn't matter. So I love you. I'm going to use you. Some of you, he's been using from when you were 4 years old. And he wants to keep using you. And you don't have to know that world of sin for him to call you. He's called you from birth. From before you were even born, from your mother's womb. God has said, I've got a plan and a purpose. Because before he made you, before he even made the world, he had a plan to save people. He wants to use you. Will you let him use you? See, the gospel doesn't go to anyone else if it doesn't first come to us. And we use these lips for him. Preach. Don't need a preacher to preach. You preach. You tell. You're called. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. Just call me and I'll come there and preach as well. But you preach. Tell them your testimony. Next week, I'm going to look at Paul's testimony. How he shares it three times. In Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. Your testimony is powerful. I got a chance to Michael and Julie Farger, don't know where they are. Michael managed to get me a meeting with Keith Lindsay from Mid-Cities Radio. Tune into it, please. 107.4, Christian radio station in Joburg. Didn't know it was even there. 107.4 FM, and I got to share my testimony on the radio. And I thought, wow, God, you're reminding me of how powerful it is that moment where you reached out of heaven and saved my soul. It's true for me. It's true for everyone. He wants to use us to tell people about him. Will you let him use you? That scripture says, and I was with you in weakness. Do you feel weak? Do you feel unable? Hello? That's too big a task. I can't. If you feel weak, stand. Honestly, go ahead. If you feel strong, sit down. Come on. And I was with you in weakness and in fear. Are you scared to tell people about Jesus? If you're scared to tell people about Jesus, stand up. If you're afraid, if you're bold and courageous and you're just telling everyone about Jesus, you sit down. If you're scared to tell people about Jesus, stand up. That's for you. Maybe you don't even know Jesus yet. It says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. If I say, you're going to share your testimony tomorrow, does it make you tremble? If you're trembling, stand up. Nikki, so you weren't afraid, you weren't weak, trembling. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words. If you've got plausible words, stay down. But if you don't know what to say, stand up. I'm going to get you all up. I'm going to invent scripture here. Ian, stand up, Ian. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you. If Jesus needed the Spirit to tell about the gospel as a man on the earth, you need it. We need it. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His power so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, Lord. Let's lift our hands to Him. And folk, if you're sitting and you want to stand, go ahead. Lord, we come before You this morning. We are grateful that You called us. We are saved. I mean, what a day. We can praise and worship You for eternity because You saved us. Thank You, Lord, that You didn't reject us, that You didn't push us away, that You came and You paid the price Yourself on that cross. You said, I don't want You to go to the cross. I'll go to it for You. You died and You rose again and You're alive. And the foolishness of that is the power that saved us. God, we love You. You're so wise and You're so beautiful and You're so strong. We can be so weak and so foolish, but Lord, You love us and You've chosen us. You've chosen every one of us with no nobility, with no this, no that. You've chosen us. You've called us and You're calling us into fellowship with You to be clean, to be free of sin, and to be used for your glory and for your salvation to the ends of the earth. I want to ask you, Holy Spirit, Jesus, would you baptize us in the Holy Spirit? I want to ask, Holy Spirit, you'd come upon every person in this place right now. Everyone that's hungry and thirsty. Everyone who knows their weakness. Everyone who knows, I can't. I did this yesterday. There's no way I can do that tomorrow. All that stuff. You are free. You are forgiven. You are empowered by the Spirit of God. It's not you. It's not your might. It's not your strength. It's not your wisdom. It's not your ability to keep yourself pure. It's the Spirit of God. It doesn't rest in what we can boast about. We boast in the Lord. He enables us. He saves us. He uses us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come upon every single beautiful person right here. You said they're beautiful and you saved them. I pray, Holy Spirit, your fire come on everyone here. I pray, Lord, you'd come like a river and just wash over us. I thank you that you sang to us this morning, with me you are strong. O weak one, do not look to your strength, but look to me. With me, you are strong. Oh, foolish one, look to me. I am wise. I am your wisdom. I am your power. I am with you, and I will never leave you and never forsake you. And I want to use you. I want to tell people about what I have done. I'm reaching out. I'm calling out, but I need your hands, and I need your mouth, and I need your lips, and I need your heart just to trust me. Trust in me. And what I've done for you, you can tell, because I really did it for you, but I really did it through you. And every good thing I've ever done for you, you can use it. You can tell others about my goodness. When the car breaks and I'm the one who provides, I'm the one who's doing things in your life, because I want you to tell. I want you to testify. While the world's looking for a solution, I am the solution. I'm right inside. I'm right in there with you. Tell them. I pray, Holy Spirit, you come and anoint our lips. Every lip in this place, every tongue in this place, be released in the name of Jesus. 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 Wonderful God.